That is a well-known hymn. What is it called? By Grace I'm Saved, Free and Boundless. And on this Tuesday, August the 25th, in the year of our Lord 2015, we're going to examine that hymn, which is our practice. And it's written by Christian, what a great first name, Ludwig Scheidt. He died in 1761, and it is a six-stanza hymn. So we want to really look at this in some detail. It is really a wonderful hymn. I was talking to a organist last night, one of our listeners here on Law and Gospel, and he was talking to me about how he loves hymns that have 8, 10, 12 stanzas. I said, why? He says, well, it's just so beautiful to listen to, and it's just wonderful pictures shown, wonderful words. And he was wondering how somebody could write something that had 12 stanzas in it and yet be so good. Well, I'll tell you how it can be done. You just keep reading the Bible, the Lutheran confessions, and there's so much in Martin Luther that gives you so many insights about analogies and metaphors, etc. But the key teaching of this particular hymn is, of course, by grace I'm saved. But what kind of grace? There are a lot of Christians who think that they're saved by grace, but they don't see it as something that actually saves them, but actually as a power source, which they use to help to save themselves. So somebody will invite Christ into their heart, an unbeliever, which is, of course, impossible, because they're an unbeliever. It's not until you become a believer that you would even want to invite Christ into your heart. So if you ever even want to invite him into your heart, guess what? He's already there. But you'll talk to these people and say, oh, so you saved yourself. Oh, no, no, no. God gave me the grace to make that decision. Oh, really? So this doesn't make any sense. That grace is some kind of power source. In fact, in Roman Catholic theology, we talked about infused grace. They actually believe, read their new catechism, Muslims and Jews who are really, really, really good people are going to be saved. It comes from a man named Shilabix, a Roman Catholic who taught the anonymous Christian, believing that there are certain characteristics of Christians. They're not afraid of death. They love God. They're kind to their neighbor. And he thought that that meant that they were Christians, whether or not they knew it or not, whether or not others knew it or not. Well, guess what? That doesn't make any sense. By grace, I'm saved, grace free and boundless. My soul believe and doubt it not. Why? Now, this is really good. Why stagger at what? What I have done? No. Why stagger at this word of promise? Has Scripture ever falsehood taught? No. Then this word must true remain. By grace you too will life obtain. Notice the point. Remember, the whole Reformation wasn't about whether works are sinful or not. Everybody agreed with that. The big problem during the time of the Reformation was an argument over the place of good works in your salvation. And for many, they believe that you're saved by faith plus works. Lutherans came along and said, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what a lot of the church fathers teach. You're saved by faith alone. But what do they mean by faith alone? Not just believing the Bible, like the historical record of the Bible. No, believing the promises of the gospel. That's saving faith. Therefore, when Jesus says from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that's a promise of forgiveness for the entire world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In other words, there's nobody in the world whose sins have not been forgiven by Jesus at the cross. But of course, as we've said numerous times on Law and Gospel, you don't get to heaven just because Jesus forgave your sins. You get to heaven because you receive that gift. It'd be like somebody buying you a birthday present, but they never give it to you. The way you get it is the Holy Spirit creates faith in your heart and you trust those promises. Guess what? God declares you righteous. You are righteous in God's sight because of Jesus Christ, which means your holiness is not on any work you've ever done, but rather on the basis of the trust in the promises of the gospel that God has given to you. Stanza 2. By grace, none dare lay claim to merit. Our works and conduct have no worth. God in his love sent our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, to this sinful earth. His death did for our sins atone, and we are saved by grace alone. What does that mean? That for your sins, he did atone. You know, the word atonement, I like breaking it down. At one meant. In other words, you and I were divided because of our sinful nature and the terrible wall of hostility between us and God. Jesus came and he destroyed that wall of hostility. And what was that wall of hostility? It was built on the promises, not of the gospel, but of the law. In the day that you sin, death will be the result. And it was talking about eternal death. That was what divided you from God. That dividing wall of hostility based on the curse of the law. Jesus came and he became a curse for you. Wow. So that now there's no curse hanging over you. You have been forgiven, which means you are no longer held accountable by God for your sins. Now, a lot of people just don't like that because they said, imagine if that occurred in the temporal realm. You could do anything and you were never held accountable. Well, I'll tell you, I would always be on time in getting to KFUO because I'd go 120 miles an hour. I mean, if there were no speed limits, I'll tell you, there's all kinds of things people would do different in their life if there was no prohibition against anything. But then guess what we're going to end up with? We're going to end up with a world of chaos. Yeah, the law has a very important first purpose, and that is to curb wickedness. Because if that is not curbed, people hurt. And they're harmed. So, that is the first use of the law God gives to the government. The second use of the law is what he gives to the church, to use the law to show people that there is no way they can save themselves. They're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. It is impossible for them to come to faith. It is impossible for them to confess that which is necessary. So God in his infinite mercy does for you what is impossible for you to do for yourself. He pays for your sins. He becomes a curse for you. He justifies you on the basis of what you believe, not on the basis of what you do. Stanza 3. By grace, God's Son, our only Savior, came down to earth to bear our sin. Was it because of your own merit that Jesus died your soul to win? No, it was grace and grace alone that brought him from his heavenly throne. We really need to define the word grace here because it's used throughout. Grace, I like to think of it, is kind of connected to justice, mercy, and then grace. Justice is the view of every religion in the world except for Christianity. That God is a just God in this sense, that he gives a person what they deserve. So you want to deserve to get to heaven? You better follow his rules. You better follow his commandments. Now, God is a just God in that he doesn't just for no reason forgive your sins. He does it justly by having his son die on the cross. But if you're understanding the word justice to mean what happens in the courtroom, you get what you deserve, that's not the God of the Bible. Because he is merciful, which means you do not get what you deserve. Eternal condemnation. And now he is gracious. And so here's the definition of what God means by grace. It's not a power source. It's actually his attitude towards you. It means, you ready? He gives you what you do not deserve. He gives you what you do not deserve. Why is that so surprising to you? Well, because it's so unfair. In fact, there's a particular denomination that invents the doctrine of purgatory because it just seems unfair that somebody who's been a Christian all their life ends up going to heaven in the same way as somebody who just converts in the last 3 days of their life. But you see, from a human point of view, God is totally unjust. He forgives people who don't deserve to be forgiven. In fact, can you not make a point that that's why the Pharisees, the unbelieving Pharisees, had him crucified? He was sitting talking to prostitutes and tax collectors who work with the Romans, and not with the people who thank God every day because they're so good. They follow the ceremonial laws, they tithe, they fast. Boy, thank you that I'm not like those sinners over there. And that's the big difference. Because in Christ, you are one of those big sinners. In fact, a number of times, the confession of sin makes that very clear, that we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. Stanza 4. By grace, this ground of faith is certain. As long as God is true, it stands. What saints have penned by inspiration, what in the word our God commands, our faith in what our God has done depends on grace, grace through his Son. Okay. What saints have penned in inspiration. Here we're talking about the prophets and the apostles, the Holy Bible, the 66 books that we recognize as part of the canonical text. And guess what? Those words are wonderful. Given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, according to the book of Timothy, they are therefore necessary for reproof, for doctrine, for becoming righteous, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Everything that you need to know in order to be saved and be comforted is found in God's word. The 10,000 questions I have that are not answered by God's word, I'll wait till heaven to get the answer, but it doesn't bother me because what I need to know is found very clearly in his blessed word. Now, this is something that we really need to be getting across to our children. That's why we're suggesting the reason we do these hymns is so that parents can go over the hymn with their children, because this is called the hymn of the day, which means it's based on the readings for the particular Sunday, whatever Sunday after Pentecost this is coming up. And therefore, a lot of congregations are now singing the hymn of the day, just like they're following the various readings. Today, I have a really fun day. Right after this, I go to a Bible study at one church. Then I have a meeting with a pastor. Then I go to another church where I'm teaching parochial school children the first time that I've ever taught them law and gospel. Then I have another meeting with a pastor. Then at 6 tonight, I'm teaching public school children who are in confirmation, law and gospel. And then at 7 o'clock, I'm going over to Emmanuel Olivet. 7:30 is the Bible study with young adults. So we're really looking forward to all of this. A busy day. I just love busy days, especially when you have the opportunity to share the word of God. But this is the point I'm going to be trying to get across to the children. The distinction between law and gospel is not a distinction of content. That is, what is the law? What is the gospel? I mean, who doesn't know thou shalt not kill is part of the law? And who would not surmise that baptism saves you is part of the gospel? But that's not where the problem comes. It's in the problem of the use of law and gospel. So I'm taking a tool that I have in my house that nobody knows what it's used for. And I'm going to say, well, perhaps you can use it to nail in nails. But, of course, that's not the proper use of this tool. I'm not going to tell you what it is, maybe tomorrow, in case any of the kids are listening. But they'll never be able to guess what this tool is to be used for. Once I tell them that, that's the point I'm making. The law, where the problem comes, is every religion uses the law as a tool in the wrong way. It's the use of the law to try and save yourself that gets everybody into a big mess. And that's the point we're going to be trying to make, is that when we're talking about the second use of the law, it's never to be used to try and get somebody to become saved. It's used instead to show people they cannot save themselves, and therefore they look outside of themselves to Jesus as their Savior. It's beautiful. And that's what this verse 4 is talking about. This ground of faith is certain as long as God is true. I've said this a number of times on the program. Anytime I run into somebody who does not believe the proper doctrines in the Bible, like infant baptism, the Lord's Supper, etc., it is always a wrong view of God behind that false teaching. Always, it's a wrong view of God. So, if you ask somebody, well, if you die tonight, will you go to heaven? And they say, well, I hope so. That's a wrong view of God. Because as they believe in Jesus Christ, they should say, absolutely. Oh, do you deserve to go to heaven? Absolutely not. Then why are you going to heaven? Because God has made a promise. He's gracious. Stanza 5. By grace to timid hearts that tremble, in tribulation's furnace tried. By grace in spite of fear and trouble, the Father's heart is open wide. Where could I help and strength secure if grace were not my anchor sure? Boy, that's a beautiful picture again. Anchor is a metaphor. Why do ships have anchors? So they stay in one place during a boisterous storm. God is your anchor. And notice this. The Father's heart is open wide. How did that happen? Because you changed your life around? Because you invite him into your heart? No. The Father's heart is open wide because of what he said about my son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father's heart is open wide because Jesus has broken down the barrier between you and the Father. No longer do you have to worry about the punishment of sin. Stanza 6. By grace, boy, I think the word grace is in here many times. By grace on this I'll rest when dying, in Jesus' promise I rejoice. For though I know my heart's condition, I also know my Savior's voice. My heart is glad, all grief has flown, since I am saved by grace alone. Boy, you know your heart's condition. Of course, we're talking about your normal heart in the sense of spiritual, what you were born with, that heart that is cruel, that is sinful by nature. How did God correct that? He gave you a new heart. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, we're not talking about the physical heart, but in the scriptures, the word heart is really the seed of one's faith or unbelief. And with the heart you were born with, you do not believe in the proper God. And that will never come about until you get a new heart. And how does God do that? By the means of grace, by law and gospel. In fact, I was at a meeting recently, and Pastor Gaunt was there, and he was talking about how he considers a proper sermon to take place. He said, number one, it's all about Jesus, and number two, it has law and gospel in it. Boy, was that hit a home run. It's a home run because law and gospel shows why you shouldn't be saved, and the gospel shows why you're going to be saved. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, by the way, we're going to hit a home run. Chris Ann is in town from California. You know, she was that actress in that movie that we helped put together, One Hit from Home. So if you want to prepare in seeing her, you can go to Google, just type in One Hit from Home, and there's a couple of trailers on that movie. I understand it's now on Netflix, so you can actually watch it. So if tonight you're available, take a look at Netflix, One Hit from Home. And Chris Ann is the actress, and we'll talk a little bit about the movie, but we're also going to talk about nuns tomorrow. Not N-U-N-S, but those nuns who, of course, are N-O-N-E-S. What better way to close then, but to continue to hear a little bit more of that hymn, By Grace I'm Saved, Grace Free and Boundless. And by the way, this was sung by a youth group called Higher Things. And so we heard the first verse. Let's kind of continue on with the next. And that was a few more verses of By Grace I'm Saved, Grace Free and Boundless. And we're concluding our program right now. Remember, tomorrow, Chris Ann from California is going to be on. We're going to be talking about nuns in California, N-O-N-E-S, namely the large number of people who are often no longer going to church. And we're going to get some insights from her about just exactly why that is happening. By the way, if you at all would like to contribute to Law and Gospel, I talked to some people last night and they were unaware of the fact that we do pay KFUO to be on the air. And so we sure appreciate your contributions. How do you do it? Listen carefully after I finish speaking here and the announcer will come on with an explanation. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.